Everywhere. I'm a gravel trucker. I'm busy laying the foundation for your city's newest suburb. And since it's such a nice day out, I thought I'd go topless. With 20 tons of pebbles loaded into my trailer bed, what's the worst that could happen? Now you're stuck behind me, and I'm about to make it rain. Rocks. Uh-oh, maybe I should have put a tarp over that. Now you're swerving, but there's no avoiding this downpour. Better watch out for that guardrail. And if your cut rate insurance doesn't cover this, you could get pelted with repair bills. So get Allstate, where agents help protect you from mayhem, like me.
For a free quote, call Las Vegas Allstate agent Sam Peters today at 702-870-4000. That's 702-870-4000, or stop by either of Sam's convenient Las Vegas locations. Subject to terms, conditions, availability, and coverage selected.
See what the personal service of an Allstate agent can do for you. Are you in good hands?
Washington, D.C. It got a lot of evil there, but we're getting it out step by step. A lot of evil. A lot of bad people. A lot of bad people. A lot of fake media. Look at them. A lot of fake media. Listen up. NBC is perhaps worse than CNN, I have to tell you. And MSNBC is horrible.
Check it out.
It's 1999. I'm on Meet the Press. A show now headed by Sleepy Eyes Chuck Todd. He's a sleeping son of a bitch, I'll tell you.
That sounds awfully harsh. Why can't you be a little more supportive?
Number one! Time is running out! Number two! Time is running out! Number three! Time is running out! Number four!
Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Wall.
It is live and local now. Good to have you with us on this Friday. And, of course, on Fridays, we always try and wrap up the week. This is week nine of the 80th Nevada Legislature. And always good to talk with Daniel Honcharoo from NPRI. The special NPRI report brought to you by Jim Marsh Chrysler Jeep, Jim Marsh Kia, and the Jim Marsh Auto Body Shop. Daniel, we're coming down to the end of week nine. Anything going on that we need to know about? Anything urgent? I know we're getting towards that deadline for bills getting out of committee.
Well, good morning, Kevin. There is certainly a lot of things happening these days at the ledge. Let me start off, though, first by apologizing for missing last week's show. I was actually busy testifying before the Assembly Judiciary Committee in support of Assembly Bill 420, which is a bill that I've long espoused to reform the laws which govern civil asset forfeiture. You had just talked about potential bipartisan bills in your last statement. This is certainly one of them. The bill had great support going forward. I know there may be some amendments to come in the coming days, but I don't suspect they'll touch the real bill's good substance, so I'm very optimistic here. But you are right. We've reached the end of week nine, and this is the midway point for the 80th legislative session. We're already 60 days in, and we have 60 days to go, unless, of course, a special counsel or a special session is called for any reason, which I'm sure we would all like to avoid.
I think all of us would like to avoid that. One of the things that I was critical of the last legislature, the 79th Nevada legislature, is that Democrats made it very much anti-business. I thought they couldn't outdo themselves in this 80th, but they're coming darn close. Can you talk a little bit about some of these anti-business bills that we are seeing right now that are still alive?
Sure. Let me mention Assembly Bill 394. It essentially amounts to a tax on robots. And it would require that businesses who employ automated kiosks pay a fee for each of them into the state's unemployment funds. And when I say automated kiosks, think of the machines you see at McDonald's, et cetera, where you don't have to talk with a human to place your order. You just push buttons on a screen. And so this proposal, again, AB 394, kind of reflects that Democrats are in denial about the impending proliferation of robots in the service industry. And so it's essentially a tax on innovation and efficiency, one which is meant to slow the proliferation of more automation in the service in the service industry, but it will inevitably lead to higher consumer prices. Now, at this point, it's unclear how much these fees will be, but they'll be assessed quarterly and on a per-machine basis. So the more a business utilizes these automated kiosks, the more fees will be applied towards them, again being deposited towards the state unemployment fund. Now, fortunately, this bill has not yet been granted a hearing. And as you just said, if it's not granted a hearing and voted out of committee by this coming Friday, then it will die, at least theoretically, because we all know that deadlines are more like guidelines in Nevada. But perhaps the fact that this bill hasn't been acted on yet signals that perhaps it's even too far out there for even some of the more moderate Democrats to take up during this session.
I want to ask you, one of the things that the legislature sometimes does is they end up allowing local entities, or they even create fire districts and different things like that, to allow them to levy taxes. So the legislature itself doesn't have to levy the tax. They let local entities do it. Are we seeing some of that?
We are seeing a lot of that, notwithstanding Governor Sisolak's pledge of no new taxes in his January State of the State address. You are right. You know, in Nevada, we're a Dillon's Law state. State lawmakers must specifically designate authority to local governments to impose their own taxes, and we've seen a whole variety of those so far. One of the worst I've seen to date is Assembly Bill 368. What it proposes to do is levy an additional tax on hotel rooms, specifically in Washoe County. So this is another example of state government giving local governments more authority to impose their own local taxes. And AB 368 is similar to the proposal for the hotel tax that was imposed for the purpose of the Radiator Stadium in Clark County back in 2016. In this case, in the Washoe Hotel case, the proposed tax is meant to reinvigorate the downtown Reno area and its surrounding areas. And look, I get it. Downtown Reno isn't a very beautiful place these days. The suburbs of Reno have been doing much better, and I think few would disagree with that. That said, better policy would be to reduce the regulatory burden for developers and to lower property taxes across the board. That's how you incentivize investment and reinvigorate neighborhoods. You don't do it through government coercion and taxation. Again, this is another bill which we've seen no hearings yet, so perhaps this bill may not be a real Democrat priority. Of course, we still have another week's worth of developments to see if this bill does, in fact, get through committee next Friday.
In fact, I want to just reset. Daniel Honcharoo joining us from NPRI. He's in Carson City. He is wrapping up week 9 of the Nevada legislature. I want to ask you, though, there's a curious bill that's out there that would tax electric charging stations. I thought we were trying to push electric cars, no gasoline cars, and yet we want to tax those charging stations where you can actually charge your electric car. Does that make any sense to you at all?
Well, so this is Senate Bill 114, and it's particularly notable because it was proposed by GOP Senate Majority Leader James Settlemyer, who is typically a great conservative, and we typically align on the vast majority of policy positions. And I do sympathize somewhat with what they're trying to do here, because if you own a Tesla, for example, and you charge it at a highway station, you currently aren't taxed for that energy. And this bill intends to level the playing field between gas-powered cars, whose fuel is taxed at very high rates, and electric cars, who are taxed at almost no rates. And so part of me understands the approach here is to level the playing field, because green energy is a racket, and the industry gets all sorts of tax benefits and other competitive advantages that fossil fuels do not get. So sure, we need to level the playing field here, but raising taxes is the exact wrong approach. Instead of raising taxes for electric charging stations, we should be lowering taxes on fuel throughout the state. Now, this bill was heard in committee last week, kind of got mixed reactions. I'm not sure how it will develop in the next week, but certainly the Dems are on board because it's a tax, and Democrats love any new taxes. And the fact that Settlemyer is the primary sponsor here kind of suggests that there may be some GOP support. So we'll see how this plays out. It would be bad policy if and when it gets enacted.
Again, Daniel Honcharu joining us from NPRI in Carson City. He has moved to Carson City. He is there for the entire 120-day Nevada legislature. By the way, this special NPRI report is brought to you in part by Jim Marsh Chrysler Jeep, Jim Marsh Kia, and the Jim Marsh Auto Body Shop. Talk about minimum wage. I hear that all the time. I hear those in Carson City who are supporting a living wage, $15 an hour. Where are we legislatively? How far are Democrats supposedly willing to go?
So we have been waiting for weeks to see the minimum wage bill come out. My suspicions were that labor groups were working in the background with Governor Sisolak to try and push for the $15 minimum wage. Sisolak, to his credit, didn't allow it to go that high. They have proposed a $12 minimum wage, which will be imposed incrementally over the next 4 or 5 years. And let me put some of this into perspective. Nevada's current minimum wage is only $8.25. So this represents nearly a 50% increase over the next 4 or 5 years in required wages to be paid. Now, certainly I'm glad it's not $15, but $12 will still be catastrophic for the state and especially for small business owners. Liberals always seem to think that small businesses have millions of dollars just lying around in reserves at all times. And this is simply untrue. You know, both you and I know that small businesses rely on tiny profit margins, and personnel costs are the bulk of their expenses. You know, in NPRI's mind, the minimum wage should be $0. We should let the market control wages, because the labor of somebody, for example, who scoops ice cream for a living isn't possibly worth $12 per hour. So this unfortunately has a very good chance of getting through. It only requires a majority vote in both chambers, and Sisolak is, of course, inclined to sign the bill. That said, we still haven't seen a hearing yet. Of course, this bill is still in its infancy, but we can bet that this will be a Democrat priority in the next week, and it will be passed through committee on a party line basis. No question about it. I urge business owners across the state to call your lawmakers and voice your opposition, because we're going to see reduced hours and we're going to see layoffs like we always see with these types of minimum wage increases.
Where are we on opportunity scholarships? Mo Dennis, I know, has been at the forefront of this argument. There is a bill, I believe it is SB 351. Has it had a hearing yet?
It has not had a hearing, and that is becoming very worrisome for school choice proponents across the state, myself included. Now, again, the deadline for it to pass through committee next week, unless they give some sort of extension, is next Friday, and it has to be both heard and voted through committee. Now, Mo Dennis, Senator Mo Dennis, who's the chairman of the Senate Education Committee, obviously isn't making this a priority. Gansert's bill, SB 351, is a good one, but all it asks for is to maintain the current funding levels. We aren't asking for any additional money. And if we don't get this bill through, if we don't retain the $20 million which was allocated to this program 2 years ago, then we will literally be kicking hundreds, if not thousands, of current scholarship students off of their scholarships and forcing these kids back into their local public schools, which failed them for years. It would be an absolute travesty. I've been encouraging everybody I see to call members of the Senate Education Committee, specifically Mo Dennis, and demand a hearing on this bill. Because, in fact, we just had a hearing yesterday in which I testified in opposition for Assembly Bill 458, and that was a proposal to actually cut funding for the program. So not only do they not want to retain funding, they actually want to cut it. This is just another example of how terrified the public education establishment is of even the threat of competition and education. We all know that school choice programs work. There's years of data behind that, but teacher unions resist them because when school choice programs proliferate, teacher union hegemony weakens. So this is a teacher union resistant issue. Please, I urge you all, call Mo Dennis. Let's demand a hearing on Senate Bill 351.
Do you get a sense after testifying which way the wind is blowing? Are there any profiles in political courage waiting to be told out there by either Democrats or even Republicans, for that matter, willing to support the opportunity scholarships?
I certainly believe that every single GOP lawmaker is in favor of the program. I've been whipping up votes here behind the scenes for months now. I literally can't name a single Republican who opposes increased funding here. But there are only a small handful of Democrats who have indicated even lukewarm support for the program in past months. I know, for example, a couple of Democrats in the Assembly actually promoted their support of the Op Scholarship Program in their campaign literature prior to the 2018 election. So there is a bit of an appetite, even on the Democrat side. Now, whether it's one of compassion or whether they're just trying to avoid a PR nightmare, which would come from kicking students out of schools, is uncertain. My sense is that, and it was evident by the size of our school choice rally in front of the ledge a couple of weeks ago, that there's a lot of support for these programs. Again, the question will be, how persuasive are the teacher unions behind the scenes who don't want any kind of choice beyond traditional K through 12 for any students in the state, even for low-income students, which the Op Scholarship Program specifically targets.
Daniel, it's always fun. Week 10 will be very, very crucial to a lot of this legislation. Thanks so much. And if folks want to know more about some of these bills, can you give them how they can find your bill tracker?
You can always visit NevadaPolicy.org to visit our online 2019 bill tracker. Of the 1,000-plus bills introduced, we have an active position on about 120 of them right now. I urge you to review it any day at NevadaPolicy.org. It's updated daily. I make the updates myself, and we stand behind our information.
Daniel, thanks so much, man. Always good to talk to you. We'll do it again next week.
Thanks, Kevin. See ya.
There you go. This special Nevada Policy Research Institute report brought to you by our friends at Jim Marsh Chrysler Jeep, Jim Marsh Kia, and the Jim Marsh Auto Body Shop. Stick around. More to do as we continue. It is Friday. We are there. We are at the weekend, live and local now.
Roberto Taco Shop. Real Mexican food you like. Come celebrate the taste and fresh selection of classic Mexican plates.
In Mexico, there was a phrase we used to say after enjoying a wonderful meal. Fabuloso! That's what best describes the authentic Mexican dishes prepared at Roberto's Taco Shop. You can choose from over 100 family recipes, each prepared hot and fresh every day. You see, Roberto's uses only the finest and freshest ingredients available. A commitment to quality and service that will never be compromised. Ah, it's going to be a glorious day at Roberto's. Stop in today and be our guest to the best. Roberto's 24-hour taco shop with 50 convenient locations serving you.
Roberto's Taco Shop. Real Mexican food you like.
Oh, yeah.
It's time to put the fun back in political fundraising. That's why Active Republican Women of Las Vegas is hosting its 2019 Fashion Show and Luncheon, Sunday afternoon, April 14th from 1 till 4 at Spanish Trails Country Club, featuring 21st century retro design by Bunker Bradley Couture. Tickets are just $45. VIP sponsored tables are available for $500. To purchase your tickets to this mega fun event, go to ARWLV.com. That's ARWLV.com.
My fellow Nevadans, have you been wanting to start a new business but just don't know where to start? Do you have dreams of being independent and free to use your creativity? I'm Nathan Taylor, President and CEO of the Taylor Consulting Group. It's our mission to help small business owners get their doors open. This year, the Taylor Consulting Group is celebrating our 10-year anniversary. To date, we have helped over 1,000 small businesses get started here in our great state of Nevada. If you want to open a tavern, a supper club, a cafe, or a banquet facility, we can help. Our firm specializes in gaming licensing, liquor licensing, zoning matters, and government affairs. We are your one-stop shop for all your business consulting needs. Don't wait any longer to make your entrepreneurial dreams come true. Contact the Taylor Consulting Group today at 702-483-7045. That's 702-483-7045. Or visit our website at thetaylorconsultinggroup.com. That's thetaylorconsultinggroup.com. At the Taylor Consulting Group, your success is our business.
I'm John Sarpalis, president of Nevada Policy Research Institute. Nevada Policy has been following legislative session closely, and we've been letting you know what bills you, as a taxpayer and a citizen, should be worried about. We're doing more than simply watching what happens in Carson City. We're making sure that taxpayers, citizens, and individuals have a voice. But we can't do it on our own. We depend on our partners throughout Nevada, individuals, parents, and taxpayers, who donate to our cause and support our mission. It's because of the generosity of our supporters that we're able to give a voice to taxpayers and fight for freedoms we hold dear. Visit nevadapolicy.org/donate and partner with us today. Together, we can make sure that government lobbyists and insiders aren't the only voices heard in Carson City. That's nevadapolicy.org/donate. This Nevada Policy Update is supported by Jim Marsh Kia, Jim Marsh Chrysler Jeep, and the Jim Marsh Auto Body Shop.
America's built and based on liberties and freedoms. Liberty HealthShare brings that to healthcare. The liberty of choosing your own doctor. The liberty of choosing your own hospital. Liberty HealthShare makes healthcare affordable to millions of Americans. Light your liberty. Starting at $199 for a single, $399 for a couple. And no matter how big the family, only $529. That's $529 for the entire family. To find out how you can save, go to lightyourliberty.com. That's lightyourliberty.com.
790 Las Vegas and 98.1 Palm Springs. Talk now. Talk that rocks.
It is live and local now. Good to have you with us. Great to have you with us on this Friday. Coming up, we are going to open up our phone lines to you. The notion that we may be closing down the opportunity scholarships. To those of you with children in the Clark County School District, Washoe County Schools, doesn't matter. I want to find out from you. If you think poor parents across the state deserve the opportunity to move their kids out of failing schools, I mean, it just makes sense. Call me right now, 844-2-NEVADA. That's 844-263-8232. I'm Kevin Wall. The program, live and local, now.
790 Las Vegas and 98.1 Palm Springs. Talk now. Talk that rocks.
Now, Creepy Joe Biden is trying to make light, you know, asking permission for a hug. Creepy Joe Biden. And by the way, how long do you think it will be before the president starts going after Joe Biden? It's getting ugly out there. But in fact, Howard Schultz, let's go to cut two. Because Howard Schultz was out on the campaign trail yesterday reacting to the Creepy Joe allegations at a, believe it or not, this is cut two, at a Fox town hall.
Well, what I would say is that there's no reason for anyone to believe that these women are not telling the truth. But it's really up to the voters whether or not Vice President Biden is qualified to run. I think this kind of behavior certainly is inconsistent with how to behave and how to respect women, and it's concerning. However, Vice President Biden has served the country for 40 years, has been vice president for 8 years. The only thing I would ask is one question. Is why is this coming up now? I'm not questioning the women on any level, but it's concerning to me that all of a sudden, on the eve of whether he was going to announce or not, this is all of a sudden coming up. It's concerning.
Okay, one of the more interesting ways I've seen of somebody announcing their run for president. And everybody does it different. Nowadays, they use social media to make an announcement. You see all kinds of... Tim Ryan probably has the most unique way that I've seen, at least in the last few years, of announcing a run for president. Go to cut three. And this is Tim Ryan yesterday on, of all shows, The View.
This country, as you all know, we talk about every single day here, is divided.
Yeah.
And if I can just say that this has been going on a long time. Our country's been divided for a long time. And I can go back into the late 1970s when my father-in-law lost his job when Youngstown Sheet and Tube closed.
Mm.
He was off for 13 months, uh-huh. Just bought a new house. And go back 20 years, my cousin Donnie, who worked at the local plant, his last act at the factory was to unbolt the machine, put it in a crate, and send it to China. Mm. And I can go back just a few weeks where my daughter called me crying from school because her friend was crying to her. Her dad just got transferred at the local General Motors plant. The kids had to move.
Yeah.
And my daughter called me and she said, "You got to do something." And I said, "I'm going to do something. And I'm going to run for president of the United States. And we're going to make sure it doesn't happen."
Now, here's where Jim Ryan, if you don't know who he is, he's a congressman from, I think, Ohio. And this is where he is going to end up sounding like every other Democrat that is running. Because they're all talking about jobs. Now, we know that the jobs numbers are good. They're great. Unemployment rate among African Americans, lowest in history. Same thing with Hispanics. Same thing with women. And yet to hear the Democrats talk about it, jobs are the real problem.
I understand that legacy of job loss, but in the last 17, 18, 19 years in public office, I've been working really hard to figure out what the heck we do next. And so I understand where we need to go. The country's so divided right now that we can't get a plan together. And we've got to make sure the first thing we got to do is unify. But there are so many industries out there growing. Wind and solar, growing at 25 to 30% a year. Electric vehicles, for example, there's 2 million made today. By 2030, there's going to be 30 million electric vehicles.
Mm-hmm.
I want those vehicles made in the United States. I want the batteries made in the United States. I want the charging stations made in the United States. And right now, China dominates 40% of the electrical vehicle market.
Okay. Now, the big issue in Congress right now is the House Judiciary Committee and the House Ways and Means Committee, actually, seeking out the tax return of the President of the United States. This is so incredibly transparent. Now, the excuse they're using is they want to make sure that the methodology used by the IRS is fair, that it doesn't favor a president versus an individual, John Q. Public. They could have taken a former president's tax return if they had wanted to. They chose not to. This is cut eight. And this is Chuck Grassley, a senior senator from Iowa, who says the Democrats aren't making a great legal case for getting these Trump tax returns, and that's probably where this thing will end, in a court of law.
Democrats have just come up with more inventive excuses for making these calls, although I suspect the underlying political reasons are the same today as they were in 2016. Consider how those reasons have changed over time now. Not long after the election, at the beginning of the last Congress, 93 House Democrats signed a resolution of inquiry directing the Secretary of Treasury to turn over the president's tax returns. That request was for his tax returns to be provided to the full House of Representatives and not the Committee on Ways and Means. The House Democrats' portion of that resolution committee report, signed by ranking member and current chairman, is filled with complaints about the president's refusal to release his tax returns, none of which ever mention reviewing IRS audits or even inquiring about IRS audit procedures. In that report, Democrats say that the president has, quote, rebuked over 40 years of tradition, end of quote, by refusing to release his tax returns. They say that the president's tax return should be released because he has a vast domestic and international business empire. They say they should be released because he is, quote, not an average American. They say they should be released because he is president of the United States and has the power to sign bills into law. And that is supposed to serve as some kind of justification for demanding and releasing his tax returns? Well, I can tell you, the law does not support that argument.
That's Chuck Grassley, senior senator from Iowa. Don't forget this hour of Live and Local Now, brought to you in part by Liberty HealthShare, offering an affordable health care option that allows you to enroll any time of the year, even today. Check it out, 855-58-LIBERTY. That's 855-58-LIBERTY. Or visit lightyourliberty.com. That's lightyourliberty.com. It's so easy. It's so easy. We're going to take a quick break. You want to join us? You want to be a part of the show? We're talking about this whole nonsense of going after the president's tax returns. And when you see the reasoning that Democrats are using, it's, we just want to make sure that the IRS is working okay, that they're treating the president the same way they would treat some joker from Sparks or Battle Mountain. Now, how many of you want to see that? I mean, we assume that the IRS deals with everybody the same. This does not sound like, this sounds like an argument where there is no argument. You want to join us? 844, the number 2, Nevada. That's 844-263-8232. We'll get to your calls on the other side. How about that? Good way to end the week is on the telephones. And we will do that coming up in our next segment. I'm Kevin Wall, the program Live and Local now.
Hello, this is Jared Fisher. I'm a business owner, community thought leader, and I ran for governor in 2018. As the owner of Las Vegas Cyclery and Escape Adventures, I know the importance of exercise and spending time in the outdoors. And I know the amazing outdoor experiences we have in Nevada. Las Vegas Cyclery has kids' bikes, affordable hybrid mountain bikes, and gift cards. We also have a wide variety of the latest e-bikes, which allows anyone to ride a bike. especially for those who want to ride a bike again but have some limitations. For more information, visit LasVegasCyclery.com. We're located at 10575 Discovery Drive at the exit ramp of Town Center and 215. Our phone number is 702-596-2953. And for those of you who are interested in a more extended outdoor experience, visit escapeadventures.com for gift cards and a one-of-a-kind outdoor adventure. Escapeadventures.com.
Hey, Kevin Wall here. A few months ago, a friend invited me for a Tuesday evening of fun at Ichabod's Lounge. Ichabod's isn't in my neighborhood, and yeah, I had to drive an extra 10 minutes, but boy, am I glad I did. What I didn't know at the time was that Ichabod's has been there for 31 years and family-owned for 19 years. It's one of the top gaming bars in Las Vegas, with the best promotions and amazing monthly cash giveaways and payouts. As they say at Ichabod's, we manage with generosity. Ichabod's features incredible menu items, including steaks, seafood, burgers, pasta, and five daily specials. And their kitchen's open 24 hours for you late-night foodies. And I just love Ichabod's old-school Vegas atmosphere. When everybody else is cutting back, Ichabod's continues to super serve its customers. Check out their nightly entertainment at the Piano Bar from 6:30 to 10:30. You want to win? You want to have fun? Then I'll see you at Ichabod's Vintage Vegas Dining, Gaming Lounge, and Piano Bar on East Flamingo at Pecos.
Hi, this is Jackie Thornhill, president-elect of the Las Vegas Rotary Club. For 96 years, the Las Vegas Rotary Club has taught area youth to succeed through literacy, education, and life skills development. To fund our year-round programs, we hold one major fundraising event each year. This year, the Las Vegas Rotary Club brings together world-class cuisine and high octane. It's a speed and style reception Saturday night, April 27th at Celebrity Cars in Las Vegas. Enjoy food station pairings, check out classic and exotic cars and motorcycles, with a special appearance by cast members from the hit TV show Counting Cars. You're all invited to our world-class speed and style reception benefiting Spread the Word Nevada. Proceeds stay here in Southern Nevada to continue the amazing work Rotary does in our local community. To order tickets, go to LasVegasRotary.com. That's LasVegasRotary.com, and I'll see you Saturday night, April 27th.
It's time to put the fun back in political fundraising. That's why Active Republican Women of Las Vegas is hosting its 2019 Fashion Show and Luncheon, Sunday afternoon, April 14th from 1 till 4 at Spanish Trails Country Club, featuring 21st century retro design by Bunker Bradley Couture. Tickets are just $45. VIP sponsored tables are available for $500. To purchase your tickets to this mega fun event, go to ARWLV.com. That's ARWLV.com.
Valley Electric Association is working to be as transparent as possible with our members, now more than ever. Our interim CEO has opened the books, providing members with monthly financials, board reports, an annual review by auditors, and expanded content on our websites for ease of access and transparency. VEA has reduced our annual operating expenses by $11 million, with further savings still to come. Valley Electric Association. We are your cooperative, your community, and we're your neighbors.
790 Las Vegas and 98.1 Palm Springs. Talk now. Talk that rocks.
That's great. It starts with an earthquake. Birds and snakes and airplane. Lenny Bruce is not afraid.
This hour of Live and Local Now brought to you by Sam Peters at Peters Family Insurance. Sam holds Allstate's premier agency designation and ranks in the top 10% of Allstate agents nationally. Auto, home, life, and retirement, that's Sam Peters. Sam, call him right now, 702-870-4000. That's 702-870-4000. Let's get to your phone calls. You want to join us? You can. Here's how you do it. 844, the number 2, Nevada. That's 844-263-8232. This is kind of an all-skate exercise where you can call in. We've been talking a lot about the tax return issue that the Democrats are trying to make this into something that it's just not. And in fact, they're trying to make this into something that it just isn't. They're trying to make this an exercise to see, to make sure that the IRS is operating properly. So they're going to test market it on, let's see, who should we do? We have 320 million Americans. Oh, let's do it on the President of the United States. Does that sound fair to you? It doesn't sound fair to me. It doesn't sound fair to me at all. Tell you what, let's do. Let's go to your phone calls. Let's go to Joel. Joel, you're up and you're on Live and Local Now. Go right ahead.
Thank you, Kevin. I, for one, would like to see Trump's tax returns for this specific reason. The man has holdings all around the world. He makes business decisions because he hasn't walked away from his businesses like other presidents have done. So he's a hands-on business guy while also being leader of our country. So I want to see his tax returns to make sure that the decisions he's making for our country are not being clouded in any way by the business dealings that he may have. For example, this Trump Tower in Moscow. First of all, he denied it for months and months on the campaign trail that he had any business dealings at all. Now we find out that wasn't true. So the question is, does he make foreign policy decisions that affect not only you and me and the entire country, but the entire world, based on the prospect of a business that's going to make him money?
So in other words, any future president of the United States, if they are a billionaire, let's say Howard Schultz, the former CEO, the founder of Starbucks or whatever, let's say he becomes president. Do we have to give him the same scrutiny that we're giving, Donald J. Trump?
Absolutely. Any president should have to disclose not only their tax returns, but their business holdings. And every other president has taken the time to put their business holdings either in a blind trust.
But they're not billionaires. They're not billionaires.
Regardless,
like this guy.
What difference does that make? What difference does it make how much you have? The point is that if your judgment is being clouded or there's a prospect or potential for a decision being made because of a business dealing as opposed to what's best for the country, that's where the problem lies. And I don't see any reason why any president would not put their entire business holding in a blind trust while they're in office and disclose their finances. What do they have to hide?
And if they have
something to hide, maybe they shouldn't be president.
Again, we don't know. Now, the president, do you buy the notion that the president says he is in the middle of an audit? Do you buy that?
I don't know, because he hasn't shown a letter from the IRS that says he has. But the experts who deal with audits have said that one thing has nothing to do with the other. Simply because an individual is under audit does not preclude them from also revealing or disclosing their returns. They've said that. And Trump continues to deny and to, say, no, I'm not going to do it. It sounds like, every time he talks about it, it sounds like he has something to hide.
See, but that's the whole thing. That's what Dan Kildee, who's the chairman of the House Ways and Means Committee, the committee that is demanding the tax return from the IRS, saying the fact that he has broken with 50 years of tradition and is not releasing his tax return even though it's not required by law, that he must have something to hide. The same way, he must be guilty of collusion. Well, I guess not.
No, wait. Now, let's not mix up what's going on. First of all, it's all an assumption that he has something to hide. Nobody has said that he is hiding something. But everyone is innocent until proven guilty if, in fact, there's a charge to be made. But at this point, it's just curiouser and curiouser why he won't disclose any of his returns. I can't believe that he's under an audit for the entire 7 years that the IRS requires us to keep records. Sure. Well, is he under audit for this year? Maybe. 2018, 2017, 2016. But go back to 2011. You still think he's under audit for 7 years on the 2011 return, that he can't reveal that, or the 2012, or even 2010? Go back to 2010, 2009. Show something in good faith instead of making it look like you've got something to hide.
So in other words, you want to convict him essentially on the grounds.
That's not what I said. I said show us something that we, given his position and the power that the President of the United States has, regardless of who is sitting in that chair, the potential for making decisions, if you're a businessman like Trump is, the potential for making decisions based on what's good for you as a business guy, as opposed to what's good for the country as a whole, comes into question.
Joel, here's the answer. The answer is simple. You enact a law that says, anybody who's going to run for president after the year 2020, so that means anybody that wants to run that's not running right now, anybody that wants to run has to do this, has to provide their tax returns. Now, what that may do is it may take a guy like Howard Schultz, you know, and it may preclude them from running. You mean I'm going to have to show them my entire tax return, not just a U.S. Senate financial disclosure that shows that I make between $1 million and $1.5 million every year? I mean, it's not a very precise document, this disclosure form. It's just not. Coming up, Rico Aller will join us, the owner of Carson Insulation. He'll climb on top of the mountain where he's got some cell reception. He'll join us in just a couple minutes. We'll size up week 9 in the Nevada legislature. Also, the president is in Southern Nevada tomorrow. It's going to be big. We got Mike Pence here. We got the president here. It's going to be a pretty good group that's going to be here. We'll talk about that and more coming up live and local now.